This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And this is the sous chef of the garden, just telling you how happy I am to be beside the mistress of the marigolds, the queen of the quince, and the angel of the azaleas.
Ooh.
And that would be, yes, Charlie Dobbin.
You've been busy.
I know. Getting my alliteration down there.
Coming up with all kinds of great plant names, too.
Yeah. Hey, good morning to you, Charlie, and everybody else. Hey. Thank you for joining us here on Zoomer Radio.
Yeah, on this kind of gray day.
Yeah, I ran in on the way into the station, quite a bit of rain, as a matter of fact, coming
down. Yeah, it
down
seems like
EBP.
It's just going to kind of go through in waves.
Yeah.
So it, like, pours.
Yeah.
For about a minute or two, and then it stops. But it is kind of gray and a bit fog out there, yeah, and that sort
of thing.
But
warmer than I thought it was.
I know, it's true. You almost feel like you want to wear a sweater or something today, but you don't need it.
No. It can be humid, too.
That's right. And the gardens need the rain, so we're not going to complain.
No,
there's no
that's
complaining.
True.
It's all. I actually had a sprinkler running yesterday, so it's probably my fault that the rain came today. I find that it seems to work that way.
Right. Okay, let me get the phone numbers on the air here.
Okay.
416-360-0740 for Toronto area callers. And anywhere in the province, it's toll free 1-866-740-4740. Keep in mind our little mantra, call early, call often. One question per call, though, okay? And kind of guarantees we can get to talk to a lot of folks. And if you are a first-time caller, let Sebastian know, and he will tell me, and I will get my little bell out here and go, ding, and there you go. You're welcome to the Garden Show ringer.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Well, your garden wings.
The garden
exactly.
Wings, exactly.
You're part of the team.
Yeah.
So, you know how some people seem to get it together and go on beautiful travels all over the world, seeing gardens and, you know, my Facebook people are always updating about
sending
where they
stuff.
Are.
Oh, nice.
You know,
yeah.
And it's like, I hate them. I hate them all. because I'm so jealous. Like, it's like, I want to go traveling too. Well, I do have an opportunity. I just want to share with everybody. Here is something that hopefully we'll come together beautifully. It's called a Tulip Time Cruise.
Oh.
So this is a river cruise in Holland from Amsterdam, big round circle back to Amsterdam over a 7-day period with a company called YYZ Travel.
Uh-huh.
And I've been offered the opportunity to host this tour March 23rd to 30th, so next March. I love the idea of those river cruises.
Oh, my gosh. You see the shots on the tube.
I know,
they look, doesn't that look great?
They're like little boats, right? It's only like, I don't know, 150 or whatever people that fit on these. And you know, they go through the canals, mm-hmm, and there's all those bridges. So some of the bridges are really low, so they take on water to go sink down deeper to go under the bridges.
Yeah,
and then they let go of the ballast to
but
float
back up.
But can
you imagine the flowers over there?
Well, exactly. Tulip time. So there's so much going on in March. Anyhow, I bring this up because please join me on this cruise. And what is happening this week is on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday evening, 6:30 p.m., there's kind of a open gang group meeting at Timothy's Coffee Shop. So what's it called? Timothy's World Coffee Shop, which is in Richview Plaza, 250 Wincott Drive in Etobicoke. Or for more information, just email me at c.dobbin, D-O-B-B-I-N, at mzmedia.com.
Well, I'll bet you a lot of listeners would love to go on that.
Exactly.
Cruise.
I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And even more fun to go with real hobby gardeners and people that, you know, we have a relationship with.
Exactly.
Okay, but other things going on today. Want to get out of the rain and still think about gardening, join the Scarborough Garden and Horticultural Society. They're holding their annual Judged Flower, Vegetable, and Fruit Show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's there they go, those competitive gardeners. I know it's all about fun, but still. Yeah, but there'll be some beautiful flowers and vegetables.
Sharpening
and
their spades.
Yeah. You know it. Free admission, of course, from 2 until 4 p.m., Scarborough Village Community Center, 3600 Kingston Road at Markham Road. This weekend, at both days, today and tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., there's a fall migration fest going on at the Royal Botanical Gardens.
Huh.
So before all our feathered and fluttering friends head south, join the RBG gang for exploration, hands-on activities, special guests, and fun for everyone. The event admission is included in your general admission purchase to the RBG, and of course, members are always admitted free of charge. Royal Botanical Gardens is on Plains Road in Burlington, so that's where that's today and tomorrow. The September 25th, so I guess that would be next Sunday, the Greater Toronto Water Gardeners are holding their next meeting. It's at Terra Greenhouses, which is 12800, so 12800 Britannia Road in Milton. So that's a that's the really big Terra retail outlet and garden center. That's just west of Trafalgar on Britannia. Meeting at 12 noon for lunch. The speaker is Judy of the Water Garden section at Terra, and her topic is landscaping your pond.
Excellent.
Don't forget as well, one more thing, National Tree Day is September 21st. That's this Wednesday. National Tree Day is a celebration for all Canadians to appreciate the great benefits that trees provide us. Clean air, wildlife habitat, reducing energy demand, and connecting with nature. There's lots of events going on, so check it out at www.nationaltreeday.ca.
And you're not barking up the wrong tree here. No, the garden show on the air with tree lovers Frank and Charlie. And we'll be back in just a couple of moments. We had a full bank of phone callers waiting to talk to you, so we'll be back to those here on Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, we're taking a little trip here to Elmville. There's Sylvia. Good morning. Welcome to the show, Sylvia.
Oh, hi.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call. I want to know about my anthuriums or whatever it's
Anthurium.
Called. Sorry?
Anthurium.
Anthurium. Oh, okay. I could never pronounce it. I have to repot it.
Mm-hmm.
I looked it up. I Googled it online. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering what is, it has to go in a bigger pot, and what kind of soil do I use? It's never, it flowered, bloomed when I first got it, and it hasn't flowered since. It's still green, leaves. So what kind of, and I assume it needs repotting.
How long have you had it?
Oh, about a year.
Don't assume it needs repotting. What I would do is I would check there's drainage holes in the pot that the plant is growing in now at the bottom. There's holes.
Okay.
Pick up the pot and look underneath. If you see roots growing out those holes, you're absolutely right. Time to repot.
Okay.
If you don't see roots growing out of there, I would not repot now.
Well, it didn't come with an inner... Oh, it did.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it sits inside like probably a fancy planter on the outside.
Right, yeah,
because you know what? Optimal, whenever we repot, it is stressful on the plants.
Okay.
So fall is never the best time to repot. If you can wait till spring, it's better.
Oh.
Because in the spring, plants are actively growing. They're all waking up and they're excited. The days are getting longer. And, you know, even if they're indoor plants, they still know that it's spring and it's time to wake up and grow.
So I should wait.
Yeah, just because they handle stress better when they're in that active growth phase. Right now, they're slowing down and getting ready for winter.
It needs a lot of, it says an indirect sun, right? Indirect light.
What kind of windows do you have? Have you got like an east or north or west kind of windows?
I don't get a lot of sun in the back patio door. That's where I have it now. And I'm thinking maybe to move it in the front. My windows don't get a lot of sun here. Yeah. It's our other house.
Okay. Well, it doesn't need direct sunlight. It doesn't need like a southern exposure. But if it is a, you know, east or north or one of those, you know, morning kind of lights, then I would have the plant right on the window ledge. Okay. If it was a southern window or a western window, then yeah, you can be 5 or 6 feet away from the window. So it does want a bright spot, no question.
Right.
And it actually likes to be kept fairly moist. So check the surface of the soil every 2-3 days. As soon as it starts to feel a bit dry, water.
Just water it a little bit. Because I was using ice cubes, which they recommend on the instructions.
Whoa, but Charlie is shaking her head. No,
yeah,
no, no, no.
I know. I remember talking to you about that before.
Yeah.
And so just a little bit of water, that's it.
Well, enough water that the water goes through the pot, through those drainage holes, into that saucer below or the outer cash pot.
Right. It's and then, not a lot of water.
Depends on the size of the pot. But yeah, it might be a half a cup of water. Okay. And make sure it's room temperature. That's all.
Yeah, okay. Oh, room temperature. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All
thanks
right,
for
calling. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio. The Villes are taking precedence here. Dunville from Elmville. There's June. Hi, June.
Good morning, Frank and Charlie.
Good morning, June.
I have a large aloe.
Uh-huh.
And it's more than 3 feet wide.
Mm.
It's more than 4 foot tall. It is in a south-facing window. It is doing beautiful. Mm. It does have beautiful flowers.
Nice.
But now it's doing a large lean. Do you have any suggestions? I have it in a 16-inch pot, height-wise, and a wide one, at least 12.
Are you able to spin the pot? Like, I imagine it's leaning towards the light.
No, it's managing towards, leaning towards the east.
Oh. So it's towards the house, as opposed, like, into the house rather than into the
to
light.
To the side.
Hmm. Oh, to the side.
Yeah, it's drunk.
Huh, yeah. Well, you know, honestly, in my experience, that does tend to happen. The best thing you can do is you go to your local, you know, home hardware or garden center and pick up some bamboo stakes. They don't have to be very long stakes, but, you know, 18.
Oh, I can take them out of my yard.
Okay, there you go. So, yeah, 2 foot kind of length stakes. You probably need at least 3 of them. And then I would use the stakes to stick them in the ground of the pot to straighten the plant up. It'll just, you know, hold it the way you want it to be. And try to remember, if you can, it's probably a very heavy pot, but even if you can every week or every 2 weeks turn the pot, preferably 180 degrees or, in a worst case, 90 degrees, just remember to keep turning it so that the plant will... droop in one direction. Hmm. And for now, use the stakes as a way to stabilize it.
Okay. Thank you very much indeed.
The only other thing I want to mention is with winter coming, aloe, like don't water it all winter, right? Just leave it alone. Like, no water, and you're less likely to see that leaning as well.
Okay.
Thanks,
okay.
June.
Thank you.
All righty. Thank
day.
You.
Thank
All right,
you.
Have a great day. And thank you very much for joining us here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio. And you know, we have a first-time caller waiting on the line, but I'll need it just a minute or so to get my bell-ringing arm in shape. And so we'll come back after these words here on AM 740, 96.7 FM, downtown Toronto.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, I'm worn out. I'm telling you, I broke a sweat getting my bell-ringing arm in
shape. I don't believe that.
That's true. Just Susan in Brampton. There you go. You got your wings.
Good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning. I have a wisteria plant that I've had planted for about 9 years, and it was quite a good plant when I had it planted, but I can't get it to bloom.
Mm. Has it bloomed at all?
Once or twice, I get maybe 3 or 4 blooms on it, and that's it.
Well, you know, I was just showing Frank, I Googled wisteria
beautiful.
Him. There are some amazing images of wisteria on the web, most of which are coming from Japan. So, I mean, the thing about wisteria is that It does get huge. It's a very vigorous plant. It does require pruning, very, very selective pruning a couple of times a year to really make it bloom and not just have a big green, massive vine.
That's what mine is.
Yeah. So what I would recommend, it's hard to kind of explain because there's different shoots that are pruned at different times of year. Do you have access to the internet?
Oh, yes.
Okay, because Canadian Gardening Magazine did a multi-page article a number of years ago, which is on the web. But the one that I brought up is a different magazine called Fine Gardening, so F-I-N-E Gardening. So if you just Google wisteria and then go to Fine Gardening, there's a whole article here called Pruning and Training Wisteria. And there's some great, it's all, there's good graphics to show you what to prune and when to prune.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because that's what it is. It's a, there's shoots that are flowering shoots, and then there's an awful lot of other shoots. And the plant just gets huge, and if it's not pruned, yeah, it's just a big green thing.
Right,
so
right.
Sharpen your pruners.
Finegardens.ca or com?
This is finegardening.com.
Okay.
Pruning and Training Wisteria.
Okay, great.
Okay. That's my best suggestion rather than getting into a big long rant on the radio.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us, Susan.
Thanks for calling, though. Good to hear from you.
Yeah. 9:27 here on a Saturday morning. And Peggy from Mount Hope, welcome to the Garden Show. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi. Morning.
Hi, Charlie and Frank. I listen to you every week and enjoy your show and learn something every week.
Excellent. Thank you.
I'm hoping you can help me. I have a plant. I call it a spider plant, but it has, it's green, has long, thin leaves, and then it sends out long stem with a baby on it.
Yeah, those, that's a spider plant, yep.
Oh, good. Okay, now I've had it outside facing east all summer, and it loves it out there. And has grown immensely and has about 1,000 babies. I don't know. Should I've brought it in? It's in, again in an east window. Should I prune it? What do I do with it?
Well, you could open up a garden center and sell spider plants.
I could. I really could.
It's up to you. You can leave those babies, and of course, they're just going to grow bigger and bigger and bigger, and the whole plant's just going to get bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could nip them off because they are little baby plants and pot them up. Mount Hope has a horticultural society, as I recall. Are you a member of any of the garden clubs?
No, I'm not.
I mean, it's a great plant. I've used that outside as a landscaping plant, using it as an edging in a garden, use it in hanging baskets. And when I'm doing that, then it's just like, let it go in the fall. Don't even keep it. But, you know, you might want to pot some up, keep them over the winter, and then perhaps use them in the garden next year. Otherwise, yeah, you can let them grow or you can trim them off. You know, if it's a little too unwieldy, if it's one-sided, there's certainly nothing wrong with trimming any of them away, but sort of hate to kill little plants if you don't have to.
Well, I do, and I've turned it all summer, so it's full all
nice.
The way around.
Nice.
It also most likely needs to be repotted, so I should do that in the spring, right?
If you can. As I mentioned to our first caller when Sylvia called, it's, you know, spring is optimal, but, you know, your spider plant is very vigorous by the sounds of it and very happy anyway, mm-hmm. so you probably could repot it now and it wouldn't even blink because they are a pretty tough little plant.
All righty.
Okay.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Peggy.
Have a great day.
Thanks.
You betcha. And we seem to have a proliferation of Peggy's this morning. From Peggy in Mount Hope, we go to Peggy in Mississauga. Welcome to the show, Peggy.
Yes. Hello.
Good morning.
I also have a spider plant, but I have the little black flies on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm using the sticky sticks for now almost 2 months, and they're still multiplying. Well, they're maybe not as bad, but they're still coming.
Okay. So if you bang the side of the pot, you see a whole mass of little tiny, they look like fruit flies flying out of the pot?
Well, it kind of ruffled the plant itself, the flies will come out.
Okay. So, and do they remind you of fruit flies?
Yes, they are like fruit flies, but they're not. I thought the sticky sticks would solve the problem.
Well,
and it's now like 2 months, and they're still coming.
Okay, so they will solve the problem, but it is a bit of a process, as you recognize. The other thing you can do to help solve the problem, because what you've got flying around there are called fungus gnats.
Yeah.
So G-N-A-T-S. So fungus gnats eat fungus. And what's going on there is there's fungus in the soil, of the plant.
Okay.
And in the presence of lots of fungus, the gnats respond by laying lots of eggs. And when the eggs hatch, they're like little tiny, tiny worms, and they squirm around in the soil eating the fungus. Then they grow up into those gnats that have wings, and they fly around looking for a place to lay eggs to continue the cycle. Mm-hmm. So your yellow sticky sticks will grab the adults, the flying ones, mm-hmm. and stop them from laying eggs. The other thing you can do is cut way back on your watering of the spider plant. So if you're watering it once a week, start watering it once every 2 weeks. Or,
okay.
you know, like just half the amount of, like water thoroughly when you water, but don't water as often. And the amount of fungus will drop in the soil because it'll be a drier soil. And with less fungus in the soil, you'll have fewer eggs being laid and fewer eggs hatching. And it's going to take another 2 months probably, but you should be able to eliminate the insect that way.
I thought maybe I should change the soil completely, but no.
You could. Sometimes people do that just as a response because they're so frustrated with the insect.
Yeah.
It is very stressful, as we said, to repot in the fall. It's even doubly stressful to take all the soil off all the roots
okay.
because that's what you'd have to do.
But the funny thing, it's not affecting the other spider plants in the house.
Oh, really? Mm.
No.
It's just that one.
I got this one from somebody to look after because it was... not having a good time at her house.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if it was in the soil when it came here.
Probably.
Okay, then. I'll keep going with what I'm doing.
Or your suggestion is a good one. If you have other plants, and this one was a donation from somebody else, I mean, maybe that's what you should do. Take it outside, strip all that soil off, keep the hose handy so it doesn't dry out, and repot it into fresh potting soil. I mean, that they are pretty tough plants. So, I mean,
yes.
they can withstand quite a lot of abuse.
But sticky sticks are the
best.
The only salvation.
Yep. We used to use a chemical that we used as a soil drench, but that is no longer available.
And I can still fertilize it?
You can, though I wouldn't do a lot of fertilizing at this time of year because remember the days are getting shorter.
Yes,
plants are slowing down.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay.
Yeah,
Thank you very much.
Let us know
how that goes, Peggy, okay?
What's that?
Let us know how that goes, you know, if you plan on repotting it.
I'm holding the phone since 9 o'clock.
Well, bless your heart.
Thank you.
We appreciate that. Patience personified right there on Zoomer Radio. Let's see. There's something going on. I heard some announcement this morning. I think that there's something special going on in Thornhill, like a street.
There's always special things going on in Thornhill.
Yeah, well, we got somebody who may tell
us. Pretty special place.
Cheryl is on the line from Thornhill, as you might know. Hi, Cheryl.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to talk to you again. I talked to you quite a while ago.
Oh, nice. Thanks for calling.
I have a friend of mine has a place in Nova Scotia and asked her to bring me back some seeds, lupin seeds, because they're quite strong.
Right.
But instead of bringing me a package of seeds, she brought me a bag of the pods from her own plant.
Oh, nice.
And there's a whole mess of them here.
Mm-hmm.
I assume, now I've read different things and I'm not sure which one's right. There was one thing to say to soak the pods and then all the seeds will come out. But I would think that I need to plant them right away.
Yeah.
I guess otherwise I'd just break them open dry.
Right. Are they dry in the bag now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they're in a Ziploc bag, and so it's just all the pods in there, and they look pretty dry.
Okay. Yeah. So I would open up that Ziploc bag. Because remember, you know, plastic Ziploc bags are sealing.
Yeah, and it's going to make moisture.
Yeah, and remember, seeds are living entities. So you want them, you want air circulation. So yes, I would definitely open up the bag, pull one of the pods out, just crack it open, and it should be full of black seeds, or dark brown, shiny seeds, which tells you they're ripe and mature and ready to go. In the natural world, those pods drop to the ground or actually split open and sort of fling seeds everywhere and land on the surface of the soil, and that typically happens in early summer, midsummer, and those seeds sit there until the conditions are right for them to grow, and then they start to grow, and life is simple. So you don't have to do anything too fancy. If you know where you want to plant them, I would get them outside and get them out on the ground, you know, rough up a seed bed, crack open the pods, get the seeds out there, sprinkle the finest layer of soil on top, just to try and keep the birds or the squirrels from taking the seeds. And you know, mark off, you know, where it is in the spring so you're not stomping all over the place. And they should grow no problem.
Okay, so I can do it now.
I would.
I wasn't sure of.
Yep, I would get them out there now. And if you can't, if you don't want to get them out now or you can't get them out now, then you're going to have to do what Frank and I did with the acorns, which is the, you know, moist potting soil into the refrigerator.
Okay.
For the winter, because they do need that winter, the cold.
Yeah, I just opened a pot up, and it was actually fairly easy to open.
Yeah, yeah, they'll crack open easily.
Do most of the seeds take, or is it best to put, like...
Well, it's hard to say.
Four podfuls or something.
Yeah, definitely put more seeds than you expect to grow, but try and spread them in such a way that they're not actually touching each other. And they're lovely if you can get them to grow. Sometimes, though, it's having the right sort of soil conditions. Try and mimic the conditions that was happening in Nova Scotia for where you're planting here.
Well, I know they said on the seed package we bought before that they love terrible soil
and full sun. They need lots of sun and good drainage. Yeah, they don't want to be in a wet spot, that's for sure.
Okay, the full sun's the challenge.
Yeah. Okay,
let's see. A lot of trees out here.
Sunniest you can provide.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks,
Thank
Cheryl.
All
yeah.
right.
The Garden Show here on Zoomer Radio, AM 740. And of course, in downtown Toronto, you can pick us up at 96.7 FM. There's Margaret in Scarborough. Hi, Margaret. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. I called you last Christmas. Somebody gave me hibiscus for Christmas, and I wanted to know what to do with it at this time of the year. Can you tell me what I do with it now? Because the leaves have all gone brown, and I've cut them off. What do I do with the bulb now?
Did you have it outside for the summer?
No.
Okay, so it's been inside all summer?
Yes.
And what direction does the window face that you have it sitting in?
West.
And all the leaves have fallen off? There's no green on it at all?
There's one green one left. Yes.
Okay, so how often are you watering the plant?
Well, I haven't watered it for a couple of weeks now. It's dried out.
Okay. So, all right, and it was green most of the summer? Did it have any flowers or anything?
Oh, it had beautiful flowers over Christmas last year in January and February. It had five flowers on it.
Nice.
And then I've had the leaves all summer green, but in the last month, one at a time, they've just gone brown.
Okay.
And flopped over, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, you do have to provide consistent water in order to keep the plant functioning and growing leaves. So at this point, what I would do, the one bit of green you have, is it up on the tip of one of the branches?
It's right in the middle.
Okay.
Green.
All right. So,
green leaf.
Yeah. What I would do is I would get out some sharp scissors or pruners. I would prune the plant back a bit, depending on the size of the plant. You could prune every tip by an inch or by 3 or 4 inches, you know, depending on the size of the plant.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely water it thoroughly so that the soil is well saturated, and then do not let the plant sit in water, but, you know, let it sit in a saucer of water for 10 or 15 minutes. And if there's still water in the saucer, dump it out at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it in the west window. And, you know, obviously today's a gray day, but that is probably, you know, one of your sunnier spots. And new leaves will start to grow. And then it's just a matter of feeling the soil. You know, you water when the soil feels dry, and you water thoroughly at that time. So it might be every week, might be every 10 days. But either way, you do need to keep consistent water on the plant in order, like I say, to keep those leaves functioning.
Should I change the soil?
I wouldn't recommend doing that now. Perhaps it'd be a very good idea to do next spring, because if you can keep it happy and healthy through the winter, it'll be ready for a bigger pot probably and fresh soil next spring.
I see. Okay.
Margaret,
all right, I'll give that a shot and see if I can get it to grow again.
All right.
Thank you, Margaret.
Thanks
very much.
All righty. As we say goodbye to Margaret, that opens up a line. So you can maybe try to get in now to have a chat with Charlie. Pardon me. 416-360-0740. And then anywhere in the province, toll-free. Pardon me.
Yeah, go ahead. I can do that.
1-866-744-740.
And when we come back, because I know you're going to say we need to listen to some of our commercial sponsor break people, but I had homework from last week.
Right.
Remember the radishes?
Oh, yeah.
John and St. Catharines had those radishes that just weren't growing into radishes. I did my homework.
Okay.
I'll report back shortly.
Okay. Keep it right where it is. Zoomer Radio. Back in a moment.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, we're going to bop along to Brenda in Port Dover. Good morning, Brenda. Welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, Charlie and Norm. My problem is my daisies and black-eyed Susans have stopped blooming, and I was wondering if it was too early to cut them back.
You can cut back the flowers and the flower stems, but I would leave the leaves alone.
Oh.
For now. I mean, unless the leaves are all crispy. Because you're probably still summer where you live. I mean, we're looking at a bit of fall coming here, but you know what I mean? I actually like leaving the flowers on my black-eyed Susans and daisies if I can, because the birds will come and take the seeds. So they aren't very attractive, but they do set seed and the little finches will come and take the seeds. However, if these are seeds that are going to blow all over your yard and grow, then yes, you may want to cut those off and cut the flower stems off. But I would leave the leaves alone until we get frost.
Oh, okay, perfect. Okay. That's all I wanted to know.
Okay, well, there you go. You're very welcome.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks. Have a good day.
Thank you for joining us here on The Garden Show. And back
my
to your homework.
Yes, indeed. I did do it. All right, so John called last week from St. Catharines, and he said for the last couple of years he plants radish seeds. Mm-hmm. Radish leaves come up. He thinks he's doing everything right, but when he goes to actually harvest the radishes, he's just got a skinny little root. It's red, but it's skinny. It's not a bulb like we expect. So I couldn't figure that one out right away. So I did my homework. And here are the several reasons why that can happen. Number one, if it's a brand new bed, brand new garden bed, make sure that the soil is nice and loose and friable, as we say. So because if it's a really compacted soil, the radishes won't be able to grow. Mm. I don't think that was what John's problem was, but that's worth mentioning. Avoid excess nitrogen in the soil, because a lot of nitrogen will lead to a lot of leaves. That's what nitrogen does. So in a fertilizer package, you'll see three numbers, like 10, 10, 10 or 15, 30, 15. So the first number of those three numbers is the percentage of nitrogen. So avoid nitrogen fertilizers where you're growing things like radishes, because you're not really growing them for the leaves, you're growing them for the roots. Another common cause of radishes not growing bulbs is they're too crowded. So you got to make sure you thin your radishes. You've got, if they're all tight together, then those little roots.
A couple inches apart?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Preferably, at least an inch and a half to 2 inches apart. So thinning your seedlings is obviously important. Overcrowding means the root cannot expand. Make sure your radishes are growing in full sun. If it's too shady, again, you'll get lots of leaves and not a lot of bulb root. And then the final, which is probably what happened, the final reason that radishes fail to provide a big bulb is that they are cool season vegetables and they will bolt in hot weather. Mm-hmm. Bolting means flowering. So when a plant is a cool season plant, the weather gets very hot and stays hot, the plant chooses to produce seed rather than fat little roots in the case of radishes. So when temperatures reach 80 degrees Fahrenheit or 26 degrees Celsius, you can expect the plants to focus on forming flowers rather than roots. So the heat could have been doing it as well. The bottom line, you can't control the heat. So there you go. So there's five potential reasons why radishes may not form bulbs. But I think that probably, John, it was the temperature that did it to you.
Well, boy, you really did a number there on that homework.
Yeah,
good for you.
I think so. Thank you. Do I get an A? Do I get a gold star?
You get a gold star. In fact, I'm going to give you
a bell. I get wings.
Okay. We're along to talk now to Jody in Scarborough. Good morning, Jody.
Morning. Okay. I'd like to know, how do you winterize geraniums? My mom used to do it, and she'd get these beautiful, beautiful, they almost grew like little bushes where she had 20, 30 blooms at a time. Mm-hmm. And I got some geraniums this year, and the color is just stunning, and I thought, I wonder how I could save these for next year, but unfortunately, I wasn't paying attention to what Mom was doing.
Well, it's funny because overwintering geraniums has changed over the years because our homes have changed. Are these plants in the ground or in pots?
They're in the ground.
Okay. So our grandmothers and potentially even our mothers were able, once we got into the cooler fall weather, not a super killer frost, but certainly some cool enough weather that the plants begin to droop. So we're not there yet, another month or so. What they would do is they'd get to that very, you know, sort of very gentle frost point. Once that happened, they would pull the geraniums up out of the ground, shake the soil off the roots, flip the plants upside down, take them down in the basement, and hang them up in the rafters. In those days, basements had earthen floors. The basements were used as cool cellars, root cellars. There was potatoes and onions, and now all kinds of vegetables were stored down there. It was cool, it was dark, and there was a certain level of humidity. And these bare root upside down geraniums were dormant, but they stayed alive because they had those conditions, cool, dark, and moist. Nowadays, our basements tend to be very warm and very dry and full of big screen TVs. So the last thing you want to do is hang geraniums up in the up in your basement. What I have done for my best success with overwintering geraniums is to bring them in and treat them as a houseplant. Have them in pots, put them in a very sunny window, preferably a south or western window, and water them as required. They will continue to bloom all winter. They'll lose a few leaves. You'll see some scraggly, thin growth because there's not enough light for them to be truly happy, but they're still very much alive. And then come February, March, I'll take some cuttings. So tip cuttings, 4 to 5 inch tips are cut off each of the branches of the geraniums, dipped in some rooting hormone. Some roots come out of those cut ends, and then they're potted up, ready to go out in the spring again.
Okay. And the one that you saved, would you plant that one again?
Absolutely. Well, yeah, what we call that one the mother plant.
Yeah.
So it's always the biggest, juiciest plant.
Yeah.
But because we love it so much, typically we want more of it. So that's why we do the cuttings.
Oh.
So, yeah, I would plant the mother and the babies, you know, if I really love the plant.
Yeah.
Or I might just say, no, I'm going to just make, you know, this mother plant be my main plant and don't even bother with cuttings. But either way, absolutely. Very, very. Geraniums will live for years and years and years.
I know. Mom's did. You know, we used to make fun of her when she would plant them in the spring. They were these dried up, scraggly looking dry branches,
yeah.
And we'd laugh, you know. She says, you wait.
Yeah, and sure enough.
They were just stunning. These were lovely.
They're pretty tough plants, and they even can take a light frost. So, you know, and if we lived in Florida, they would be perennials in our gardens. It's just the heavy frost that kills them.
Yeah. Well, I'm fortunate. I do have a little root cellar underneath my porch.
Well,
so I will try that. Just hang them upside down. And
Yep. Okay.
Okay, thank
Thanks,
you,
Jody.
Charlie.
Let us know how that goes.
You
will
bet.
Do.
Thanks, Jody.
And unusual as it is, we have a couple of lines open here at 416-360-0740 and anywhere in the province, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. And we're due for a little bit of a break here at 9:51, The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And Frank Proctor, the sous chef of the garden, welcoming Siva to the show in Toronto here. Hi, Siva.
Good morning.
Morning.
My canna has finished flowering. Can I bring it into the basement in the pot, or do I have to do something else with it to get the bulbs?
Okay, you can leave it in the pot over winter, but do not bring it in until we have a frost.
Okay.
Because the frost is what will knock the leaves down and they'll just collapse onto the pot.
Okay.
And when that happens, the next day, you'll go out, you'll cut the foliage down to ground level.
Okay.
And meanwhile, of course, you won't have been doing any watering, or it might be raining, so it might be super wet.
Okay.
But before we get into really, really cold weather, you have to get the pot into a frost-free location.
Okay.
But wait for the first frost to knock the foliage down and ensure that the bulb doesn't rot by being super soaking wet. So if it's rainy, stick it in the garage or stick it under cover so that it's just not a big soggy mess.
Okay.
Thanks,
Dean.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. And, we've a few minutes remaining in the show. See if we can squeeze a couple more callers in here. Like Dina in North York. Hi. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Hi, Dina.
Oh, hi. Am I on the line?
You are on the radio.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to the show.
I was on my other phone, and it died down, and now I'm on the other phone with the cord here. I can't believe this. Okay, first of all, Charlie. Hi, Frank.
Hi.
I want to tell Charlie that I transplanted my hollyhock. Mm-hmm. You told me to transplant it before the winter, so the soil is still warm.
Mm-hmm.
And it bloomed really well.
Nice.
I transferred another plant, too, and it's doing well.
Excellent.
Now, I want to ask you about my orchids. I had two beautiful orchids blooming for months and months.
Excellent.
You know? But then they died, and I cut off the dead end, you know, the part that's dead. And but what about, it's growing a whole bunch of roots. What do I do with those roots? Do I leave them on?
You leave them on, yep. That's what orchids do.
Oh.
They do have roots that grow up into the air. That's fine. Don't worry about it. You'll know the plant is being sufficiently watered by looking at the health of the roots.
Oh,
so the roots should be fat. They should be shiny. They'll have a bit of, they'll be green. The tip, the very tips of the roots will be silver.
Oh, and
yeah, that tells you that you're watering adequately and appropriately. So that's exactly,
okay.
Sounds good.
They
will get a hold of some orchid fertilizer and consider using fertilizer on your orchids just right after Christmas and get into routine using the fertilizer every month or so.
Orchid fertilizer.
Yeah. Orchid fertilizer, special for orchids.
Another little question I want to ask.
I can't.
Sorry,
my love.
We have to call back.
We have to call back, but we have a caller on the line who is a first-time caller from just south of Buffalo, I understand. So there we are. Get your wings. Good morning and welcome, Barbara.
Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. I'm so happy to speak to you both.
Oh, thanks for calling.
Every Saturday, and I love you both, and I wish you could be transported to Buffalo. See you every week. But anyways, I'll start. I have 100 questions, but I know I only have one.
That's right. They're
about my hostas.
Mm-hmm.
I have a huge yard and covered with hostas, all different varieties. For the past 2 years, in one section where I've had hostas for about 25 years, the leaves have gotten so small.
Mm.
And I've been blaming the deer because the deer come over in that section and they chew the leaves off, okay? Mm-hmm. So what? Oh, it's depressing because, God, there's at least about 80 hosta plants.
Mm.
So what do you think could be doing it?
Well, when was the last time you amended the soil in that area with, like, composted manure or something like that?
Oh, they get manure probably every 2 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because that would be my first impulse, is that the soil needs amending. The soil needs, in order to grow fat, juicy plants, you've got to have super healthy soil. So I'd be inclined, either this fall or next spring, you know, get a good half inch of you know, good quality organic material onto the soil. Otherwise, maybe is it a divide? I mean, is it a situation where they're just so crowded that there's certain amount of stress that way?
Matter of fact, they take some out and they transplant them in other places.
Yeah.
But you don't think the deer has been the culprit?
Oh, the deer will definitely they love hostas. They'll choose hosta almost over any other plant. So, but I mean, you'll know when they've chewed the leaves off. And of course, they're going to tend to go for the biggest ones. But the new growth is in the center, and that's where the smaller leaves are, and that would be the most tender growth. So, there are some good repellents out there to try and keep the deer away. That plant skid.
Yes.
I
plan to buy that. This seems to be a good product.
SKYDD is a repellent. Yeah, it's supposed to be a great product and should keep the deer away. So I'd be suggesting that. And like I say, lots of organic material.
Okay, I'll do that. But do you want to know my solution for the geraniums, which
I save
every year?
Yeah.
I just shake the dirt off. I put them in like these plastic containers, and I keep some mud, some dirt on them, and I put the water, and I just grow them in my basement all year near a light. And then in the spring, I just take off the dead stuff, and I put them right back in a new pot with new soil.
Right, and so you're keeping them alive, but under lights in the basement.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every single year, and this year, they've been unbelievable.
Excellent. Oh, good tip.
Well, thanks, Barbara.
Thanks for calling, Barbara.
Thank you very much. You're both wonderful.
Don't be a stranger.
Okay. Thank you, Charlie. That was great.
Thank you, Frank. That was very great. Look at all those great callers. Thank you. They're the ones that make the show. And Sebastian, we couldn't do it without you. So thank you very much. And see you all again
next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.